anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Thirst. Have you ever been so thirsty that you felt like your mouth was sort of sticking together, tongue to roof, and it felt like you had a mouth full of sawdust? You ever been so incredibly thirsty, like out working really hard or running a race or out taking a hike someplace, and you just felt horribly thirsty and weak and exhausted? You felt so thirsty. You needed water. My friends, that's the situation, that's the condition, that's the need that's being addressed here by Jesus. The problem is that most of the world, and us ourselves, we live amidst plenty of spiritual water, but we have a spiritual drinking problem. We don't drink of the Spirit. We see the Spirit water. We see the gift of God. We see the grace of God. It's offered before us on our altars and in the Holy Word. We see it. We know it. We know it's there. But we refuse to drink in the gift. Instead, we turn our backs and walk away. We stay away from worship. We stay away from our friends, from our sisters and brothers in Christ. We refuse to read the Scripture. We refuse to sing the hymns. We refuse to pray. We refuse to fellowship together, to do the most simple thing, to meet with our friends together. It's like we are thirsty, 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 parched and needing water. And there's a water fountain in front of us. And we're turning our backs and walking away. We have a spiritual drinking problem. We don't want to drink. Oh, my friends, the world is thirsty. All the studies that have been done by Gallup and by Barna and other organizations that canvass and poll people has discovered that there is a deep desire for the Spirit, for the things of God. In 2006, a study was done. You know, I love statistics. The old adage goes, there are three things that are reprehensible: liars, politicians, and statistics. Here we got a few. 91% of those surveyed last year, well, in 2006, a year and a half ago, 91% of those surveyed claimed some belief in some kind of God or higher power. That's 91%. That's pretty high here in the United States. And unless you think, well, that's just the stupid people, that's just the ignorant people, that's just the uneducated people. 62% of all those who are natural scientists, biologists, chemists, physicists, 62% of them believe in God. 76% of all medical doctors believe in God. I think that's good news. I want my doctor to believe in God, okay? 59% of biological scientists, 59% of biological scientists believe in God. 99% of biological scientists also believe in the theory of evolution, which goes to show one can believe in both. Wow, what an idea. Now, many of them are theistic evolutionists. You can be an evolutionist and a believer in God, and even a Christian, believe it or not. Wow. Less than 45%, right at 44.9% of physicists believe in God. That's still a huge percentage, though. Now, 5% of Americans claim that they are atheists. But of those 5%, 4% say they're not quite sure about it. Smart, aren't they? They're willing to be open to the possibility I call those agnostics, don't you?
Yeah.
61% of those who seldom or never attend church believe in God. And 74% of people surveyed who do believe in God cite the number one reason that they believe in God is others. The love of others. The presence of others in their life. What other people do for them. What the church does for them. What believers do for them. That's a huge percentage. 74% of those who say they believe in God say they believe in God because God reaches through other people to touch them. That's an amenable statement right there. That means, my friends, that you and I, that we, the people of God, are called to be a means of grace for others. I was asked this past week about my interest in dedication to the sacrament of Holy Communion. I just didn't do my doctoral work in the subject. I believe in it. They said, your faith is oriented around the sacraments. I said, yes, it is. It is oriented around the sacraments. But specifically in the way in which they are instruments for receiving God's grace. And in that respect, we are all. The church is a sacrament of God for the world. We are called to share God's grace with others, with all whom we meet. We're called to be the real presence of Jesus with this world. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. In creating the church, the Holy Spirit seats within the body of believers, the real presence of Christ, and the world looks and sees and can know the love of God and can say, God is, and God calls me to be a part of the divine life. That is what we as believers are called to do and be. To be witnesses of the love of God, of the power of God, of the presence of God, of the loving acceptance of God, of the grace of God for all. We're called to be a sacrament of God for all. There is a thirst in this world. 91% say they believe in God in some way, and yet they don't partake of the banquet in front of them. They don't drink deep from the fountain of God's grace. They stay away. We stay away. We forsake the gifts of God's grace. We are unwilling to drink deeply of God's grace. And if we are unwilling, should we be surprised that others are looking any and everywhere but here for a touch of the divine? Look at the second part of our reading today from the gospel. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Out of the believer's heart. The word heart there is an interesting word. It's used again and again and again in translating passages from the Old and New Testament. Those of you who've been in Disciple Bible and now Pastor's Bible Study know that there's the word cardia, which means the heart. You know that word from, you know, modern terms in medicine like cardiology, the study of the heart. And the ancient people seated the intellect right here. We have moved it up to where the head is, but that's where they placed the seat of the intellect. So there's that word that's often translated heart. There's the word for gut, which you have to kind of spray when you say it in Greek, splagna. And in the King James, it comes out as bowels. Ugh. So you get weird things like the bowels were refreshed for you. My bowels were refreshed for you. No, thank you. I don't want a spiritual colon cleansing here. But that word is the gut, and that's where the ancient people felt. We put our emotions in our heart and our thoughts in our head. They put their thoughts in their heart and their emotions in their gut. Well, what's this third word? That is often translated heart by New Testament translators. What's this third word? This is the third word that is used here. It's not cardia, and it's not splagna. The third word is koleos. And koleos has several meanings. It means the digestive tract, the stomach. It means, idiomatically, it means a physical desire or lust. But many times in the New Testament, it is translated womb. Wow. Womb. It's translated not heart. When it talks in Luke chapter 1, verse 42, Luke chapter 2, verse 23, John chapter 3, verse 4, and in many other passages in the New Testament where the translators are translating koleos, they translate it as womb. Mary's womb, the womb of a mother. So let me offer an alternate translation here. Out of the believer's womb shall flow rivers of living water. What comes from wombs? What comes from wombs? Babies, thank you. Babies come from wombs. Children come from wombs. Wonderful miracles of God come from wombs. When they turn 2 years old, nuh-uh. But when they're born, wonderful miracles of God come from wombs. Mom, I'm glad you're here today. A miracle. A really big one, too. Miracles come from wombs. God gives us grace. And what is being said here is that we are called to give birth to God's love and grace to others through the spiritual womb, seated deep in our heart. We're called to be means of grace for others. We are called to drink deeply from God's love and God's presence and God's grace through the power of the Holy Spirit. I was asked this week, are you a mystic? And I said, yes, I am a mystic. Oh, my friends, don't have a spiritual drinking problem and refuse to drink of the water of Jesus Christ. Don't have a spiritual drinking and eating problem and refuse to receive the gifts of God's grace from the table of the Lord today. Instead, open yourself to the nourishment that God has for us in the Holy Spirit. Open yourself to the nourishment that God has for us to empower and enable us to be Christians in this world. We are called to drink deeply from God's grace and then to share from the womb of our heart, to share God's love and God's grace with others. As we have received, so let us give the grace of God and be means of God's grace to others and for others. On this Pentecost Sunday, on this Mother's Day Pentecost Sunday, let us all be like our mothers. Be graced with God's love and presence to give life, the life of the Spirit, to others. Let us drink deeply of God's grace and then share that grace, that love, that acceptance with all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.